The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Great crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and addressed them. If anyone comes to me without hating his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Which of you, wishing to construct a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if there is enough for its completion? Otherwise, after laying the foundation and finding himself unable to finish the work, the onlooker should laugh at him and say, "This one began to build, but did not have the resources to finish." Or what king marching into battle would not first sit down and decide whether with 10,000 troops he can successfully oppose another king advancing upon him with 20,000 troops? But if not, while he is still far away, he will send a delegation to ask for peace terms. In the same way, every one of you who does not renounce all his possessions cannot be my disciple. The Gospel of the Lord. Good, so once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. So there's another one of our difficult passages that I told you about yesterday, if you heard me speak yesterday, that it's the difficult passages that have the most to teach us. So great crowds were traveling with Jesus. Whenever you hear that phrase in the New Testament, fasten your seatbelts and brace for impact. Because every time that happens, Jesus always tells us his harshest messages. That's when he shoots with both barrels. Great crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned to them and said, "Whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery." And great crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned to them and said, "It's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for one who is rich to enter into the kingdom of God." And great crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned to them and said, "If anyone comes to me without hating his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, he cannot be my disciple." Now, here's where your priest is really tempted to say, "Well, you see, Jesus didn't actually say that. You got to go back to the original Greek. It means something different." But you know, the trouble is that he actually did say that. You go to the original Greek and it uses the word mise. And you know what mise means? It means one thing and one thing only. It means hate. And then your priest wants to say, "Well, you know what Jesus is really saying is, you know, make sure the love of God comes in first and then everything else comes in second." And that's true. But it doesn't explain what he's really trying to say right here. So let's make one thing real clear right off the bat. Jesus is not telling you to hate anybody. Real clear. Jesus has used this rhetorical technique before, and you've heard it before. It's known as Semitic hyperbole, deliberate exaggeration for maximum rhetorical effect. This is the way Jesus talks when he really wants to grab your attention for a point that's very important. And as I've said, you've heard this before. If your eye is your undoing, gouge it out. And if your hand is your downfall, chop it off. Better for you to go through life maimed than to be thrown headlong into Gehenna, where the worm dies not and the fire is never extinguished. Well, he never intended anybody to chop off their hand or hurt themselves in any way. It's Semitic hyperbole, deliberate exaggeration, because he wants to get your attention for something very important. Okay, so here's two things very important. First thing very important. The love of God is in a class all by itself. It's not just the greatest love among many. The love of God is the only love there is. And every other love in the world, wife, husband, children, exists for the love of God and in relation to the love of God. It's the only love there is. Why? Well, because God is love. God isn't just one love among many. God is the very definition of love itself. There is no love apart from God. He's in a class all by himself. Here's a parallel case that I think might help understand a little bit. You ever heard it said that God is the greatest being in the universe? Or sometimes people will say, well, God, that means the supreme being. Would you be surprised to know that we don't believe that? God is not the greatest being in the universe for one reason only. God is not a being in the universe. God is the very act of existence itself and the cause of all being. And similarly, God is the very act of love itself and the cause of all other loves. That's why he's in a class all by himself. And anything that you would love that would make you forget that is making you forget love itself. And that's why you actually would want to hate such a misunderstanding. That's the first big point that he wants to make. Here's the second. Following the Lord's going to have a great cost. And in fact, it's a cost too great for you to pay. Too great. That's why he says what he says about calculating the cost of building this tower and wondering whether you have enough resources to take on this king who's advancing upon you with 20,000 troops. Both of them references to current events in Jesus' time, and maybe I'll explain that to you next time. But the bottom line is, you don't have enough to build the tower, and you don't have enough to fight the fight. To love God as the only love there is, and to take up your cross, I've got news for you. You can't do it. And that's why you do have to ask for peace terms, because you can't win that fight. And you know what the peace terms are? Surrender. That's the cost of peace with God. That's why, and the last thing he says right here is, whoever doesn't renounce all of his possessions can't be my disciple. The cost of peace with God is surrender. And an honest thing to say to yourself is, if you're not at peace somewhere in your life, you haven't surrendered. You still are living under the illusion that you're in control, that you can control the outcome of the world's events, and forgetting that God alone is in control. And that's a very good thing, because he's all-powerful, all-knowing, all-loving, and all-good. That's the surrender that brings peace, that helps you win the fight you can't win by your own strength. Reminds me of my favorite passage from the Scriptures. Favorite passage from the Scriptures. Psalm 46, verse 10. It says, "Be still and know that I am God, supreme among the nations, supreme on the earth." That's where peace comes from. Peace comes from knowing that God is God and not you. Thanks be to God. Great crowds were following Jesus, and unfortunately, great crowds did not follow him all the way to the cross. But you and I, let's be his disciples, not just in word, but in fact, and follow the Lamb wherever he goes. Amen.